JC Corcoran Podcast.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this.
Shh.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam, I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey. You don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
I'll get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
It is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Hi, kids. You are at jcontheline.com because this is the 18th. If you are good in math, you know that Saturday is 420. And so I thought I would open the podcast today with a little bit of stuff from our pot library.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California. For the 3.5 million people who live here, the city is one big shopping center. Retail stores in Los Angeles take in more than $2 million a day. Some products aren't sold so openly. Marijuana is one of them. A bag like this goes for $15. It's called a lid. The finished cigarette is called a joint. It sells on the street from 50 to 75 cents. The seller claims it's heaven. The buyer soon finds out it's hell. It's a closed contract until we find out. Then I go to work. I carry a badge.
How you doing, boys?
We're groovy.
Yeah, JC.
You know, Tommy, I got to tell you something. You got one of those voices that if you had not chosen to go into comedy and the stuff that you're doing, you could have been like, what's that guy's, Ted Williams, the guy they found on the roadway, the side of the road in Columbus, Ohio? Ted, you just Williams. Got one. You got a set of pipes. You could have done this job. You could have been on the radio.
Well, that's because I never did cocaine when I was growing up.
Well, you guys were ahead of your time, Cheech. I mean, you look around now, state by state, one after another, everybody's selling pot.
You know, Tommy said a long time ago, what if we're right?
What if we're right? Yeah.
And how does that feel now?
Feels great.
Vindicated.
One toll over the line, sweet Jesus. One toll over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toll over the line.
Yeah, so back in 70, 71 in that area, I was living in the Chicago area. Where I'm from, and this song comes on WLS, the Big 89, 50,000 watts all over the Midwest, called One Toke Over the Line. And
I've heard that song.
I know. And the thing is, I Googled that right before we started our interview today, and I learned something. It turns out that a toke is a puff from a marijuana cigarette.
Is that right?
Just exactly.
Who would have guessed?
Now, the reason I bring that up is because this was the ABC radio network. This was corporate stuff, and they were very, very conservative. And you guys must have crapped bricks when you found out that song got airplay on WLS and then spread all over the Midwest. I mean, you guys must have just scratched your heads and said, "We didn't really think this was going to happen."
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, WLS was the station, as you know, it's a huge station. They really helped break One Toke Over the Line. They had to make a decision. In fact, they had a special meeting with us to make sure we were going to follow through with it, not back out. If they, to back them up if they chose to go ahead and play it. And because WLS decided to go ahead and play it, many other radio stations did the same thing, because a lot of stations were afraid at the time the Nixon administration was coming down on so-called drug lyrics in rock and roll, but that also included Puff the Magic Dragon, for God's sake. Ridiculous. But, and of course, we made Nixon's enemies list, as a matter of fact, which we held as a badge of honor and still do to this day. But yeah, WLS was very instrumental in helping One Toke be as successful as it was. They were very brave, I have to say.
Michael Brewer, Brewer and Shipley, and a great story, and the world certainly has changed, hasn't it? Saturday, the big day. Celebrate as you will. Today, I want to start with this story, because this is one of my favorite stories of the year. Every year, Uber releases a list of the most common things that people have left behind in cars over the past year. Top five: clothing, luggage, headphones, wallets, and jewelry. That you would expect. But the part I like is the list of the unusual stuff, which, for example, includes a frontal hair toupee, hot sauce, and a breathalyzer. Somebody panicked because they left behind a leaf that's much needed. End quote. Two containers of spiders, a tray of meat pie, a ceramic cat, a jar of oysters, a candle that says, "See you in court." A live pet turtle, a burrito steamer, Benihana garlic butter, a framed Taylor Swift autograph, a fart sensor, a best day ever foam sign, a fake butt, a thong, undergarments, a paternity test, a WWE championship belt, and a large sticker with a dancing cartoon cat that says Spanky Fest on it. America. America. Speaking of which, there's news out of the Donald Trump trial case today. Wasn't expecting this one. There's a juror, one of the seven that was going to be seated. They think they're going to have opening arguments possibly as early as Monday. So this woman is like going to be one of the seven jurors, and she comes in today and says, "Somebody busted me. Somebody has already revealed my identity. I want out." And you would think this would come as a disappointment for the prosecution, because on her profile, she listed as getting her news from the New York Times and CNN. Meanwhile, the Kennedy family called the news conference today and said, we know that our brother, our relative, whoever he is in the Kennedy bloodline, vote for Joe Biden. Don't vote for the guy with the Kennedy name on the end, or just he's nuts. Everybody was like, yeah, we know. Police in Ohio investigating a scam where somebody pretending to be Aaron Rodgers tricked a woman into sending them hundreds of dollars and giving them her social security number. A woman in Brazil facing charges after she wheeled a dead guy into a bank, weekended Bernie's style, and then tried to take out a $3,400 loan in his name. Key mistakes were made. You got to put sunglasses on the guy, and she didn't. Remember the old days of cell phones? You know, when you first got your very first cell phone, you're like, well, I'm going to Chicago this weekend. And like, sorry, your cell phone won't work unless you pay for roaming charges. And it's like, well, I need my phone, so go ahead. How much is that going to cost? Really? It's going to cost that much? Okay. A couple from Florida came back from a three-week trip to Switzerland and noticed that T-Mobile had billed them $143,000 for using 9.5 gigabytes of roaming data while overseas. They were upset. But T-Mobile canceled the charge. They're also reminding people to know the travel details of their plan. And tell everyone you know, everywhere you go, you're sold on St. Louis, where an 8-year-old boy was found driving a car downtown on Monday. His mother was sleeping in the back seat. There was this girl that I knew back in the late 80s. Her name was Robin. She was very, very pretty. She still is today, by the way. And she seemed to me a bit of a wild hair. I mean, to be that good looking and also to be just wild. This was one of the women who, on occasion, you know, I had long days back in the late 1980s. You know, I would do the morning show. And then I'd be getting out of the station maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go straight to TV, and sometimes something would happen. Maybe I was scheduled to have a piece that was going to go on the air on the 5 o'clock news, and then something happens, somebody dies, there's some major entertainment story, whatever, and they're like, we need you to do a piece for the 10 o'clock as well. So now it's like, okay, good thing that my cats are self-sufficient, because, you know, I left the house at, what, 4:35 in the morning, and now I'm not getting home until almost 11 o'clock at night. And keep in mind, I got to get up and do a show again the next morning. So I come pulling into my driveway, and I notice, where's all that light coming from? And I pull around back, and the light in my pool is on. And when I get out of the car, I look, and Robin and one of her friends, female also, are in my pool. So when I say wild, that's you know, I think you're getting the idea. I'm painting a picture for you. So what complicated things was that she had been newly divorced, and I remember we were just sitting around shooting the bull once, and I said, you know, she had only been married for 6 months. When did you sort of start getting the idea that, maybe I've made an error here? And I still remember her answer. To me, it was shocking at that time. I was a young man in my early 30s. I didn't know. She says, in answering the question, when did you know things were going bad? She said 6 months before the marriage. And I said, what? Why didn't you just put on the brakes? It's like, well, the invitations are out. The band was hired. The hall was rented. Everybody was, you know, just plugging along on this thing. And it took on a life of its own. And it was like trying to stop a locomotive. And I couldn't stop it. So I went ahead with it. But I had a pretty good idea that wasn't going to work. And she ended up being right. So now, a poll of 2,000 people who recently got married found out that 20% had cold feet and thought about calling the whole thing off at the last minute. Operative phrase here is thought about calling it off. Rarely do you get somebody who actually does. All right, here are the reasons. Number one, scheduling. Everybody felt too rushed. Number two, the guest list. You invite too many people. The vendors, like maybe the photographer sucked. Number four, the cost of everything. The weather. Maybe a Florida beach wedding in the hurricane season wasn't such a good idea. After all, I wonder why the hotel rates are so low. The way you looked. Maybe you didn't like your makeup or something. You didn't like the way things turned out. The location. You ended up not liking the venue after all. The planning. I think there should be some sort of law. If you get married and you don't make it past 6 months, all those wedding gifts should go right back to where they came from. Sorry we bothered you. This is the 118th anniversary of the great San Francisco earthquake. 5:13 in the morning. They figure it was somewhere between a 7.9 and an 8.3 on the Richter scale. It was followed by raging fires that took weeks to fully contain. About 700 people died. About 250,000 were left homeless. Conan O'Brien turns 61 today, and his new show debuts on, what is it, on Max? Yeah, it's on Max. Conan travels the world visiting people he met through his podcast, Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan. The show is called Conan O'Brien Must Go. You know that stupid country song about Applebee's? About, you know, getting all dressed up and getting really fancy, going to a really fancy place like Applebee's? Because when I think of fine dining, Applebee's just really sort of jumps directly into the conversation. This guy is, his name is Walker Hayes. Okay. Now he says he doesn't even consider himself a country artist. And he said, I've never lassoed a cow and I'm scared of horses. End quote. Like a dime store cowboy. Michael J. Fox, Taraji P. Henson, Dua Lipa, and Patrick Mahomes are on the list of Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People of 2024. I don't know when the whole list comes out. I'm actually focused on Sunday night on American Idol because, as we told you yesterday, somebody cooked some deal up where Lionel Richie and Ryan Seacrest on Sunday night's show are going to announce the 2024 inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It would be nice if they finally got around to Bad Company. Be nice if they finally got around to Jethro Tull. They probably won't. I'll say this about the DeWitt family. They've got balls. They say they want to do renovations on Busch Stadium, and they want financial assistance from the city of St. Louis. You know, us? So you've been putting a shitty team out onto the field. The price of everything at the ballpark just keeps going up up, 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 up. This town's in tatters. I'm shattered. And now they want our money. So you put up a new foul pole. I don't know. That was one of the things that originally, like 2 weeks into the season, had to come down. When the new Busch Stadium debuted back in the day, whatever it was, whatever year it was. Originally, they had freestanding foul poles in left field and right field, which meant that the foul pole flared out at the bottom. Because otherwise, you'd have to have guy wires or put in a completely different kind of foul pole, which they eventually did. And that's the ones we have right now. The problem was these things flared at the bottom and obstructed the view of quite a few people who were sitting down the left field and the right field line. This big yellow metal structure that kept them from being able to see the field. So they tore the things down and put up regular foul poles. I like the new Busch Stadium. I'm very comfortable there. I like the place. I don't like the prices, but I like the place. Steven Matz didn't miss a bat yesterday. Cardinals lose 6-3. Brewers coming to town this weekend. And if I were you and you're going to the game, you got tickets for the game, especially tomorrow night, Friday night, you might want to start looking for a red jacket because it's going to be chilly, probably low 50s and probably some wind. And this is all as the storm moves out. Oh, gosh, JC, what storm? Yeah, we got another 3 on a scale of 5 today, and that's serious business. Not trying to alarm anybody. I'm just telling you, keep your eye on the skies today, unless you're listening to this podcast past about 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Here it is between about 2 and 8 overall. Prime time for this thing is 4 to 7. High winds, hail, tornadoes, power outages, trees down. Level of a 3 out of 5. This one will not miss. I know there's people out there who believe in this made-up thing called the Arch Effect, which basically means, God, look at these storms heading right for St. Louis, and all of a sudden they split up and one goes north, one goes south. They call it the Arch Effect. It's probably got more to do with the heat island in the city, which will upset the organization of a storm. But like I said, this one ain't going to miss. And then look at this. Friday's high only 62, Saturday's high only 58. Sunday's high, 62. All kidding aside, this thing this afternoon could get very ugly. Very ugly. There's a lot of people out there who I think that we as people on the radio live in some sort of fantasy world, and that if you're a guy and you're at least marginally acceptable looking, that you just probably get tons and tons of action and groupies and everything like that. Truthfully, it was like that back in the day. In the 70s and even into the early 80s. Oh, yeah, there's quite a bit of that. But then, you know, you get a little older and the girls get a little older. They're not as sort of fucking goofy and just wild in the streets. You know, some of these 19, 20-year-old girls who used to come to the Casey window late at night. Holy crap. You wouldn't believe it. But this was in the year 2000, and I still remember this. I was doing a remote broadcast. I want to say it was like on a Thursday or Friday afternoon for some reason, and it was at the Station Casino. And I'm just sort of standing in front of the place, and people are coming and going. They're not really paying that much attention to me. And all of a sudden, a woman just walks up, and this was a good-looking woman. This was a very, very good-looking woman. I figured she was coming up to me, thinking I worked for the casino, and maybe she had a question about where are the craps tables. You know, I don't know. But instead, no, she's coming up to me. And she picked me up, and we dated on and off for quite a while. And then we had a little break, a couple of years, and then we started dating again. Karen Kelly, who I shared an office with at that time at the radio station as our producer and co-host, used to refer to her as Jessica Rabbit for reasons that should seem obvious based on the description I gave you. I tell you that story not to show off, but to illustrate that that happened about once every 20 years. That was it. You might have girls getting silly and flirting with you and flashing you. We had a lot of that sort of stuff. But nobody, you know, on any kind of regular basis, you know, a really, really exceptionally good-looking woman, a 10, just shows up out of the blue and says, would you like to go out? I thought somebody was punking me. Bob Hardy of KMOX died on tomorrow's date back in 1993, there were people who were saying, you know, the great thing about Bob Hardy is you could listen to him and you wouldn't, he was so impartial you never could ever tell what sort of political affiliation he had. And I was like, really? You couldn't? Guy was on the air always railing against Elvis. True story, by the way. On Saturday's date in 2004, that's the anniversary, the 20th anniversary of K-Hits becoming number one in the morning. We'd been there about 6-7 months and knocked off everybody and went to number one in the market, 2554. Big, big deal. But we upset the mothership, and there were people at that radio station across the hall because there were five stations in there. One of them, of course, was KG. They had no appreciation for the fact that we had knocked off the mothership. Too goddamn bad. Field of Dreams came out in 1989 on Sunday's date. And back in 2012, Martin Kilcoyne, sports director at Fox 2 for what's got to be, what, 25 years now? He was also doing a show, 590 The Fan, and got the heave-ho. I was working at KTRS at the time, and as soon as I heard that Kilcoyne was out at 590, I knew that I was going to be out at KTRS because I know they loved him, and I knew what they were going to do, and they I was right. That's exactly what they did. They got rid of me, and they brought in Martin Kilcoyne. And Martin's a good guy. I got nothing against Martin, and, you know, you can't get mad at the guy who got the job. You can stay mad and continue to be mad at the management of the radio station that pulled the plug on you just because a cuter girl just showed up in the cafeteria. My dad used to say, you work in a tough business. But he also said, you made more money in your life accidentally than I ever did on purpose. All right, let's toss in some more 40th anniversary highlights. I got to St. Louis in May of 1984, and this goes back to the late 1980s. DJ Don Johnson, one of our co-hosts, says, I got somebody coming in today. I was like, who is it? He goes, Joe Frazier. I'm like, smoking Joe Frazier? He's like, yep.
Joe, when people do recognize you and stop you on the street and they want to talk to you, what kinds of things they ask you? Like, what are some of the most common questions that the fans want to know?
Well, most of the fans ask me, you know what I mean, you know, what it was like, let's say, facing Muhammad. It was a lot of, let's say, excitement. It was a lot of fun. And the way I look at my job, I love my job. You know what I mean? I don't care what it is. I love my job. If I come to do my job, I'm going to do my job well. And because I love doing it, I don't take on something that I don't like doing. Yeah. And I love the party, you know what I mean? And I'm going to party tonight. I might even sing if nobody don't run.
Yeah, now that, yeah, you just got to know. What happened to that illustrious singing career of Joe Frazier and the Knockouts?
Yeah, you sang for a while, and I haven't heard you doing any singing. What became of that?
Those records sold like hotcakes, let me say that.
It takes a lot of time within the music, you know. You just can't really run in. Music is close to being, let's say, an athlete. It's nothing done overnight, you know what I mean? You have to take time to rehearsal, and you got to spend the time within those studio, and just like you do the gymnasium, there's no doubt about it. I got shafted. I got buried by the music, let's say, industry. I know what happened. They wrote me off, but it was all right. You know what I mean? They could stand it, and so could I.
What were some of the songs you sang?
I did a Proud Mary. I did
Proud Mary? Yeah.
Chill, man. I did
a slow version or a fast version of Proud Mary?
He did his own version.
I did a fast version of it. not Tina stuff, okay?
Left a good job. And if we get a little beat going here, would you sing for us? Could you do it?
I left a good job in the city.
Yeah.
Working for the man every night and day. But I never lost for me to sleep. I worry about the way things might have been. Big wheels keep on turning. But I'm very keep on burning. I said, roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it, roll it on the river. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Don't call him smoking.
He's smoking.
He's smoking. And now Mickey Thomas. You first heard him back in the 70s, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, lead singer on the Elvin Bishop song. Then, later on, he joins Starship, Jefferson Starship, whatever the hell it was. And back in, I guess it was 2013, I was on the air. Yeah, 2013, I was on the air in Houston, Texas. And they called up and they said, Mickey Thomas is in town. You wanted to come in and sit with you on the air some morning? It's like, fuck yeah.
Tell me about how hard it is to keep a band together.
It can be real hard to keep a band together. You know, I mean, some of the earlier bands I was in, like for instance, when I first joined Jefferson Starship, you know, I was kind of coming into a band that, you know, already existed, already had had been around for a long time. So you had some big egos, you know. Everybody has their own kind of idea, their own opinion about how the band, you know, what the musical direction should be.
Well, how did it work in your bands, and most notably in Starship? Who led? Who followed? What was that dynamic?
We used to kind of have a joke when I first joined the Jefferson Starship was, we are a democracy. We take a vote, and then we do what Paul wants to do, meaning Paul Kantner. But because, you know, he did sort of start the Jefferson Starship. So if it came down to, like, you know, somebody holding the hammer or having the deciding vote, it was usually Paul. And it could be tough. You know, it could be turbulent at times. You know, tempers would flare and egos would get involved. And that's why I admire a band like U2, for instance, who have known each other all their lives. So, you know, there's been a lot of fights along the way. You know, they've been together since they were teenagers. But
there aren't a lot of bands like that. The Stones, I mean, obviously every once in a while somebody checks out. How about the Moody Blues? I mean, there's a couple of bands like that. There are not many, but it really is rare. And when you stop to think about it, it's like, wow, how do they do it?
I don't know how they do that. I know in my band, see, after a while, you know, after the Starship broke up in the early 90s, and then I reformed the band, it was easier because I could sort of pick or choose who I wanted to have in the band with me, you know, and that made it easier.
Do the issues tend to be more about musical direction or business decisions?
I think more musical direction.
Can you give me an example of something that happened somewhere down the line where you're like, okay, we can either go this way. We had the guys from Foreigner on a while back.
Yeah.
And they were just talking about how, okay, we did a ballad and it did really well. So we did another ballad. But then somebody said, well, let's do a third ballad. And now pretty soon it's not Foreigner anymore because the fan base was like, hey, you're a rock band. And now you're doing your third consecutive ballad. And it really didn't go over very well. It was the cause of a lot of discord within the band.
Yeah. I know for us, for instance, you know, with the Starship, you know, we came out of Jefferson Starship, you know, in the early and mid 80s, you know, pretty hard rock and Jane, Find Your Way Back, you know, Laying It on the Line. And then we made a conscious effort to sort of reinvent ourselves in the mid 80s and say, you know, let's try something different. And we came out with We Built This City and Sarah and Nothing's Going to Stop Us, which were huge radio hits. But we kind of lost a little bit of our rock base along the way, you know. I wouldn't say that I would take it back because those songs are probably the biggest reason why I'm still out here and still doing what I do now, because they're so ingrained in, you know, the fabric of people's lives with because they were all three number one singles. But what happens is now people tend to identify us only with that, and they forget about all the other body of work that you've done. Getting back to what you said, though, you know, wanting, you know, you get a big hit single and then you want to recreate it, and then you want to recreate it again because it's almost like a drug, you know. You get a taste of that, like, wow, you know, I dig that. And I've actually talked to some of the guys in Foreigner about that, about what happened. And it's an easy trap to fall into.
Great guy, Mickey Thomas. Really, really great guy. All right, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. We are on the air every morning at 101.5 in St. Louis, 101.7 West, and streaming at kwolf.com. Don't forget J.C.'s Roots of Rock Sunday show, Sunday mornings from 9 to 11, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, Beatles, Motown, The Works, and we'll talk to you then. And again, with a fresh podcast on Monday. We do these Monday through Thursday at jconline.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.